section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
The best podcast for the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. On today's show, we have Aaron, Roger, and Doug to join me as we discuss this month's view from the turnbuckle. So, Aaron, AEW Wednesday night, Dynamite! What are your thoughts on this?
As Roger had said earlier, it seems very Nitro-esque. It definitely feels like kind of a WCW or an NWA type name, you know? Yeah. I don't know, like, there was Nitro, there's Thunder, now there's Dynamite. SmackDown, Raw, there are certain names that you kind of want to go with in order to, convey a certain attitude to the audience, I feel. And so Dynamite is essentially what AEW wants to convey, I feel, to the audience.
I'm excited. It's explosive. It gets in your face. I can't wait to see some AEW constantly and see how they're going to go with it. So a little fearful, but at the same time, high hopes.
On the surface, SmackDown is a really stupid name. If you think about it, if you didn't know The Rock, that makes no sense to anyone. And yet, the show has historically been pretty good. So Dynamite fits the tradition of TNT and Nitro, like I said before. It's fine. And, this is a company that's building. And I think that's kind of like, hey, this is kind of the start. This is the explosion. Let's see where they go.
You think they're going to play some AC/DC?
I'm going to say this right now. If they play the original Nitro song to start, I would be way happier than you could ever possibly imagine. Like, I want them to go classic WCW, have Tony Schiavone there, welcome everybody to the greatest night in the history of our sport. Like, just embrace it. Just embrace the whole thing. Talk about spoilers. Spoil NXT, say it's going to put butts in the seats. Like, who cares? Let's just do it.
Because it's TNT. It's Dynamite.
Dynamite?
Oh my god! I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that's why I said AC/DC is going to do the lead song. Yeah,
they have to do that. That has to be there. That's one thing they have to do. Aaron, I'm on the same boat. I didn't even think about that. All right, so we're still talking about AEW. Pac defeats Omega. What did you guys think about not just this pay per view and this match, but do you think that the whole package itself, like? Aaron, I know you said that you tried to go in to StarCast, and did you really think that there was that many people like going compared to what you've seen before?
So I guess before we kind of talk about All Out, so StarCast was in my area, and so I went to it. I was just kind of curious. I didn't want to pay the $50-$60 or whatever it was to get in just to like walk around and see some of the booths that they had set up. I wanted to first get a lay of the land first to see if it was worth it. Doug and I had gone to C2E2. Roger and I have gone to Emerald City and PAX and everything. And so I've been to big conventions where it's just gigantic. I've also been to smaller ones, which are still serviceable. And I might not have seen all of it, but I went there and it looked like a very small room. I would consider it like if you've gone to a large hall, where there's a stage and everything like it, there, it's like big, but it's small, it's medium size. And that's kind of what I would say it was. Like I looked and I was like, I'm not paying $50 to walk in there, like just to walk around. Like it's just not worth it to me. I hung around out for a little bit, kind of saw everything that was going on there. StarCast seemed like something that would be exciting for somebody. If they were going with some friends and they had a plan to like spend a lot of money to get pictures taken with wrestlers, I think then it would be a really good thing for them to do. The CM Punk thing that they had, I had watched it after the fact. That was a really great thing. I would have loved to have gone to it, but it's a cost benefit analysis to it. So StarCast itself, I don't think it's something I would ever do, to be perfectly honest. We've done, as a comparison, we've done Access. Access is big, right? That'd probably be a better way to talk about that. We've done Access. Access, I think, is like $60 or something like that, wasn't it? Like for us to go with something like that.
It ended up being like 50 something with like the fees, but I think it was like $49 plus fees.
Okay, so that $50 that we paid even if we didn't get our pictures taken, walking around, seeing everything, that was really cool. I loved it, especially for WrestleMania. It was amazing. Royal Rumble was really cool, too. That was worth it to me. This would have been the same price, and you have gotten a probably a quarter of the size of ability to walk around, if not even less. And it just was not – it wouldn't have been worth it.
All right. Well, thanks for that input on that. So, Roger, what did you think about Pac defeating Omega? Do you think that this is the proper thing to do? Because, you know, they're talking about wins and losses, and I think Omega is a goose egg right now with wins.
He is, but I think that's going to play into his story. I've read this online. And I kind of think this is where they're going, is that, you know, Kenny Omega was at the top. Then all of a sudden he's kind of shifted to being an executive vice president. The questions are going to be, you know, is your focus still there? Are you still the guy on top, or maybe your priorities have changed? I have no problem with Pac beating Omega. I have no problem with Omega losing, because I think there's going to be something that comes out of it. And to be honest, we don't want this to be a click-like situation, a WCW-like situation where the guys who are in charge are just constantly winning. We want to believe that Omega and Cody and the Bucks will lose. Otherwise, I mean, look, for as great as WCW was, it burned out because the NWO never lost. No one ever got their comeuppance. The same thing with the Click after a while. It got annoying. We got tired of Hunter's Reign of Terror. We've gotten tired of Cena's Reign of Terror. Same thing with Roman Reigns. So letting Omega lose here and there and having him lose big, important matches, I have no problem with it. And I think he looked fine and Pac looked like a monster. Hopefully Pac is signed and he is going to be able to build up this moving forward, because I think Pac looked great. Like, he looks like he – just like he did when I last saw him.
I think it's great. You're building up stars. You're trying to get bigger names and everything like that. Omega's been doing some great stuff on being the Elite, where he has gone into that downward spiral and is just gone kind of completely off the reservation. And it's pretty actually entertaining to watch. But I agree with it in the fact that you're also building up. I love that they're already going into Hangman Page versus Pac again. And I think this is a feud, though, between Pac and Omega that could absolutely develop into something even bigger. I'm not going to say Omega Okada, but they both wrestlers were very, very disappointed in their match, and it was one of the better matches of the whole night. So I want to see if they get a time limit of what they want to do and are able to do all the things that they want to do, what kind of match that will actually turn out to be. I would assume it's going to probably be an hour-long Iron Man match, but I'm looking forward to the next time they get to face, and I like that AEW is not going to do the WWE treatment of making them wrestle for the next 3 months.
I will say one of the things I've really enjoyed is seeing something that is pretty neat. I think that that gives a little bit more validity to the statement where they said that wins and losses are going to matter. So that way, when we see that a Kenny Omega, who is the top tier, you know, like if you look at AEW, the best overall wrestler in general is Kenny Omega. You know, in my opinion, I would say, like, you know, and I would say it's probably not even close. I mean, Pac might be up there, maybe Moxley even, but Omega is like, you know, S plus tier for me. And so to see that, I think that that kind of gives him a little bit of it goes to show that even though he is the best, seeing a lower record like that is, you know, it goes, wow, I wonder why he's losing. I wonder, you know, does that make him more sympathetic? Is that going to help out in storylines? You know, are we going to see a case where, you know, as Doug had mentioned, we're not going to have 3 months of the exact same wrestlers going at it over and over and over again. And since we're not having pay-per-views on a monthly basis, that's every 3 to 4 months. You know, there's going to be a lot of time in between. So that way there can be build up to a Kenny Omega versus a John Moxley or versus a Jericho or, you know, whomever.
Did you think it was the right thing to do, though, to have the referee stoppage? And then I guess like that was my thing. I think it makes Omega look weak. But I guess if you're doing the whole thing, like the whole storyline with him being, you know, 0-3, if I'm correct, I guess that makes sense. But so, yeah, he's taking on Moxley at Full Gear on November 9th. That'll be interesting. Of course, on a Saturday night, which I prefer those. But the next thing that happened that was actually big, of course, because a few pay-per-views ago, Sean Spears, a.k.a. the Perfect 10, he went ahead and attacked Cody with the chair. Cody defeated Sean Spears. But what was intriguing about this one, Aaron?
Well, it was interesting to see Arn Anderson was out there, you know, and he attacked Sean Spears after, you know, there was a ton of interference as well. And then was it Tully Blanchard? Is that who's out there? Yeah, and Tully Blanchard. You know, I mean, I think they're overbooking it a little bit, and also like unnecessarily overbooking it. It kind of reminds me of the DX versus NWO Sting versus Triple H storyline. It was very overbooked unnecessarily. I thought that was a little overbooked. I liked the match. I thought that it was pretty good. I actually would have almost rather seen like Dustin come out and, you know, as a solidarity with his brother. I think that would have been kind of neat. I love Arn Anderson. But, you know, seeing him do a spine buster now versus 20 years ago, probably not as impactful. It's like, hey, it's an old guy, you know, doing that. Like Hulk Hogan dropping the leg isn't going to be as, you know, big of a deal as, you know, now versus, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Right. So, but the match itself was good. And, you know, Cody Rhodes, you can tell that he is, you know, he is a superstar, plain and simple. And you can see that they're going to build the company around, you know, a few people, and Cody is going to be one of them.
I like the match. The match itself was good. I thought the storylines and everything that they did on the outside actually had very little, but was still good in the same. I like the fact that he picked MJF to be his bodyguard because everybody was thinking about the heel turn or anything like that. So the suspense kept building up and building up. And who knows when it's going to happen or if it's going to happen, you know, everybody's expecting it. So I like that AEW did the opposite thing of not making it happen. They had the chance at the very end where MJF had the chair and then put it down and shook Cody's hand. I thought that was pretty good. They played it up. They kept playing it up and then did a little swerve with nothing happened. And that works sometimes. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm in the minority in this one. I didn't really enjoy this, mostly because it was overbooked, bit of a cluster. And that's fine if you're leading to something, right? If it'll trigger on the MJF heel turn, then the overbooking is fine. But kind of, I don't know, high-level view of this was a whole lot of crap happened for Cody to go over. So what did this really accomplish? Like, him beating Sean Spears doesn't prove to me that Cody is worthy of a title shot because Sean Spears isn't exactly a top name in the industry. He's a mid-carder, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you were going to build Sean Spears up, he needed to go over a guy who's a former Ring of Honor world champion, one of the key figures in this. This didn't do it for me. I don't think anything was advanced. Nothing was gained. And nothing was bad, per se. The twist of not doing it isn't a terrible thing. But I also think sometimes predictability is fine when it's leading somewhere smart. And I think this would have been an opportunity to lead somewhere smart. MJF doesn't work as a face. We know it has to happen because he's not a good face. He is a quintessential heel. So you might as well have just gotten to the story that we already know is coming as opposed to teasing something that has to happen anyway. So maybe it'll happen in Top Gear or whatever, or Full Gear or whatever it's called. But I passed on this one. I wasn't impressed.
But real quick, too, I just want to say that is a terrible pay-per-view name.
Full Gear?
Yeah.
It's off of the being the Elite.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Because they had done that, and I was like, really? That's...
It's the fact that Adam Page walks around every time, and anytime he's on being the Elite, he's in full gear. He's in his wrestling gear all the time. So he's full gear Adam Page.
Does it make you angry enough that you want to go stomping around the grounds, or is it like one of those ones where it makes you feel like your balls are on fire, like they're great balls of fire? Because we're going to talk about bad wrestling names.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. Full Gear isn't even a top five, like probably not even top 10 for terrible pay-per-view names, because WWE has a lot, by far not the worst. But I heard it. I was like, you know, I liked Fyter Fest. I liked Fight for the Fallen as well. I thought those were pretty good. All in All Out, Double or Nothing. But I just felt like, they should come up with a better name, you know.
I really, really wish they owned the classic library from the NWA, because Starrcade, Clash of the Champions, some of those really iconic names would be perfect for a company like this that has the ties to the Rhodes and Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson, things like that. Because, I mean, is Starrcade even Halloween Havoc is one of my favorite pay-per-views ever. They won't use it. I mean, it's just there's so much missed opportunity because, you know, WWE just buying everything up under the sun.
And the thing is, with Halloween Havoc, they could do that as like a house show thing. And I think it would still work, but I really wish that they would bring that Bash at the Beach. I love too, Uncensored. Oh, gosh, there's a lot of good ones.
Well, I love the themed ones. Those are things, even like Spring Stampede, while, yeah, it's kind of dumb, at least it was themed, you know, like that was something that I appreciated. And like you said, Halloween Havoc, Bash of the Beach, you know, all of those. It was like, oh, this is fun. This is different. You know, it's not just a like normal set. You know, we've seen pay-per-views, especially recently, where we're just like, this is just,
hey,
a pay-per-view.
It's the Raw set.
Yeah, it's Raw. You know, like, what's the difference? What makes this special, you know?
Well, and also think of the history, right? Bash of the Beach. That's the night that Hogan turned. That's one of the most iconic moments in sports. Halloween Havoc has had some great moments that we remember from WCW. Almost all those pay-per-views, except kind of like sold out or something that didn't really mean anything, there's something that you can call back to. Obviously, War Games and whether Fall Brawl. There's just a lot of stuff that I think, you know, it's unfortunately not being utilized that would be a nice call to history.
All right, so let's talk about the best match of the night that wasn't even the main event. Lucha Bros took on the Young Bucks, and Roger, what were your thoughts on this match and the outcome as well?
I feel like Jim Cornette had an aneurysm during this match. I mean, look, it's a spot fest. Like, there are some matches in which I go, like, and do it for me. I kind of felt that way with Cole and Gargano after a while. This, to me, going in, I expected a spot fest, and I got a spot fest, so I'm not mad at it. Like, I think this is just them doing what they do best. It's not going to be my match of the year. It's not going to be the match I remember the most. I think it was fun. I think it was entertaining. I have no problem with it. It was crazy. I mean, the stuff they did was like, okay, I can't believe you tried that and executed that, but it was fine for what it was. This is not a tag team match that I would say deserves the main event, because I think those should be reserved for big time feuds or, you know, DIY versus Authors of Pain, right? Where something important is going to happen that you're going to remember. This was just a cool spot fest to get you going, but it was fine for what it was. I don't really hate it.
I absolutely loved it though. So I thought it was a combination of everything that they've been building up between the two teams. I hope feud for right now. You know, I don't hope that they meet and for the actual titles, although it looks like it's going to be set up for that. But it'll be interesting to see. But I thought if this was the end of it, this is going to be the last time they fight for a long while, then great. But we'll see how it goes in the future. It was very spotty. I couldn't believe half the stuff that they did. I just, you know, I'm very thankful that all participants came out of it with minimal injuries. I guess just normal wear and tear after a match that you would expect like that. But no big injuries. Nobody's out for a long period of time. So very, very entertaining match and wonderful to see what all those competitors could do.
I definitely echo Doug's thoughts. This was, I don't know, this won't be a match of the year, but it might have like spot of the year, like OMG moment of the year. Like the stuff that they did in there was insane. And it really goes to show Young Bucks. And like Roger said, yeah, I'm sure that Cornette was having an aneurysm. I mean, he probably was, but to see the stuff that they pulled off, it was just like, it was crazy. And like it's ballet, right? Like it's ballet with kicks and hits and flips and everything. And to see what they were able to accomplish, it was awesome. I after watching this, I actually thought that it was unfortunate that Jericho and, you know, Hangman Page had to go on afterwards. Cause it's like, you got to follow that. And you know, yeah, the title is the most important and you're crowning the first ever title. So yeah, it should go on last, but man, that's a tough match to follow.
Do you think Cornette had a bigger aneurysm during that match or the Cracker Barrel hardcore match?
Oh, no, that one probably. But, you know, he's only 58 years old.
Really?
Yeah. They said, happy birthday, Cornette. Happy 58th birthday. And I was just like, and every comment was like, only 58? Seriously? Like, okay.
I don't think that's a good thing when people say only 58.
Mm-hmm. He looks like I would have guessed mid to late 60s, but...
Yeah, I agree. You just like the new AEW champion. So Chris Jericho becomes the new champion, loses the belt, gets it back, but he defeated Adam Page. Aaron, I guess I'm a loss for words for this one. Do you think that this was the right person to put it on? And do you think this was the plan since day one?
Between these two, yes, I think that's the right person to put it on. We're going to have an AEW World. They would have liked to see an 8-man tournament, you know, even a 4-man tournament. I mean, there was kind of a 4-man tournament for this, and we had talked about this before. But, you know, Adam Page, I can see why people like him, you know, like maybe the next big thing. He has the capability of being really good, but I don't see him in a world title picture. I think that's the thing, right? Like, could he get there? Absolutely. But he's not the person I would pick. If I'm looking at the entire AEW roster, Cody makes sense. Omega makes sense. You know, Pac even you could say would make sense. Jericho obviously makes sense. And that's, I don't know, maybe that's about it. You know, I
see for like, this new guy, John Moxley.
Oh, of course. Yeah. That guy. But I don't know. He hasn't done much yet. Right. Like, so we'll see what he does. But yeah, so that's like what, 5-6 guys, you know, that should be there. And Paige is not bad by any means. It's just, I wonder if that's like pushing him way too quickly, you know, to be in that role. And so I don't know if that was the right thing, but like, yeah, ask me Jericho. I think if it's just those two, yeah, Jericho is the best person to be there. And the next challenger is going to be Cody, you know? So that makes sense, you know, for a, you know, those are two top tier talents for AEW. That makes perfect sense to me.
I've got so many mixed emotions after this. And the fact that I was kind of hoping for Adam Page to win this due to the fact that I think it'd be smart to kind of build your own brand and kind of keep the WWE out of it. Never been on the E, never done this. Finally, you know, gets that accomplishment. I thought Adam Page was booked well in this match. I thought Jericho made him look very, very strong. Made me a believer that he could be a champion. But then again, you're never going to get the namesake. You're never going to get the recognition. You put the title on Jericho, you're going to get probably more buzz and press than you would if Adam Page did. So being a new company and everything like that, I think the choice to go Jericho makes a business sense aspect reasonable. But I would have liked to see an Adam Page win this one. But we'll see where it go from here. I thought Jericho is endless. He's timeless. He will forever be able to reinvent himself. It's amazing the career that he has had. The fact that the memes out of just everywhere for the little bit of the bubble, his promo after winning the match was absolutely great. Yeah, it's great to see Jericho as champion, but I still think Adam Page deserved it a little bit more.
You know, I think we talked about this, and Aaron kind of brought up my point of, like, I didn't like the way that we got here. I didn't like Battle Royal plus one-on-one match. Like, that to me is not prestigious. I'm a big fan of tournaments. I always have. I thought you could have set up a lot of feuds splintering off of them. Not to belabor that point, but once we got to where we were, to me, there was no question in my mind that Page, I'm kind of on the same page as Adam, is that he's not bad. And I think he absolutely could be a star eventually. But I don't really believe that he's a star now. Whereas if you're launching a TV show and you're launching a brand and you want to crown a first heavyweight champion, you pick Chris Jericho, a guy who has main evented WrestleMania, a guy who has beaten The Rock and Stone Cold in one night, a guy who has, you know, been against Okada, against Omega. He has literally competed in every relevant company that we will talk about, with the exception, I guess, of Once Upon a Time Impact. He was in ECW for a bit, I want to say. He was in WCW. He was in NJPW. So that is the guy that you build around. Now, no, he's not the future, which is fine. You will build the future down the road. He is the current biggest star that you have. The only person on that roster who's even close is Moxley. And that's just not the plan with Moxley right now. So, and I also think going down, you know, if you look at Page versus X, is not nearly as big of a matchup as Jericho versus X. Jericho versus Omega is a primetime match. Jericho versus Cody is a primetime match. Jericho versus Moxley, that's a primetime match, whereas Page isn't there yet. Now, you can build him up 6 months, 12 months, or whenever you want to do, and he gets his second shot and he wins, crowd will go wild. Right now, I think Jericho was the right call. I don't necessarily know that I would have had Jericho versus Page. I probably would have done something else where, you know, Page gets knocked out in the semifinals, do something dirty, but he looks great going down in defeat, and then he builds up later. Because I think you could have done this a little bit better personally.
All right. So let's talk about WWE. Baron Corbin wins the 2019 King of the Ring. Okay, we can move on. So let's talk about the WWE women's titles. So Bayley turned on Becky to join Sasha after Sasha just came back. Now, Roger, did you think that was a smart time to actually turn Bayley? Because I think that was the one person that we discussed maybe a year or two ago. You should never turn Bayley. And they did, but they're not using her properly. So did you think this was smart on WWE's part?
So there are a couple people who I thought should never go heel. Bayley, Johnny Gargano, and Sami Zayn. And you know what all three of them had in common?
They're fantastic.
They're just good. Like, yes, I always thought Bayley could have been the quintessential baby face. She's the Ricky Steamboat of the women's generation. She just stays a face for her whole career. But this is they did the two things that I really thought she needed for her career. They got her on SmackDown. They got her away from the quagmire that is Raw and that women's division. And then they actually let her show a little bit of personality by attacking Becky. While it's not a full-on heel tone, we kind of know where this is going. I like aggressive, angry Bayley being like, you know what? Becky has gotten the spotlight. This is exactly what she did to get out of her funk last year, where she basically turned into the man by just viciously attacking Charlotte. Bayley realizes that without her being that aggressive, she will always be lost and be in tag team matches. This is someone who main evented an NXT pay-per-view. She should be in this spot. I have no problem with the heel turn. I like it. The only thing I have a problem with is that, like everything else in WWE, we never have feuds and a blow-off match. It's feud, match, feud, match, feud, match, feud, match. And then by the time the end comes, I'm so sick of it that I just want them to move on. And then it's rinse, wash, repeat. And guess what? Bayley and Charlotte should be done. That was Bayley won. It's over. Nope. Still going. Gonna have another match. Probably gonna have another match at Survivor Series. It'll be against each other. Probably another match at Roadblock or TLC or whatever crappy pay-per-views in December. It just keeps going and going and going.
But did you think that the fact that now that Sasha's gonna, you know, taking Becky on again, do you think that it's kind of like they're like, okay, well, this pay-per-view didn't matter whatsoever, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to have you face her again at Hell in the Cell, but they're probably going to put this in the cell, I assume, because then there's going to be a winner and a loser. Do you think that's what the possibility is?
Oh, I 100% think this is going to be in the cell. I just don't, and this is the problem that I don't like about this pay-per-view must have in a Hell in a Cell match, because this feud has not hit Hell in a Cell levels. Once upon a time, Hell in a Cell was used because you were settling a blood feud. Because this is the final thing to do, and we had no other recourse. You know, if Gargano versus Cole was in a Hell in a Cell, that would have made sense. That's a good feud ender. Sasha versus Becky, why does that need to be in a cell? They don't like each other? Okay, cool. Let them do a street fight. Let them do some other match. Like, this is not Hell in a Cell ready, in my opinion. It'll be in a cell. And if I'm correct, I don't even think feuds end in Hell in a Cell anymore. They usually just keep going after that. So, much like most things when it comes to WWE, I find myself very indifferent and not excited because I know I'm going to get a very mediocre, meh type product, and it won't stop until it's beaten to death.
I'm more curious whether or not they're going to do again what they did between Sasha and Charlotte, where they kept hot potatoing the title back and forth on each other, but this time do it between all four of them, and then hopefully combined the titles at WrestleMania, have a four corners match and combine the titles. That way there's only one woman's title, please.
I'm going to wait for them to have the two women's titles, the women's tag titles, and then like another woman, mid-carder. What do you think? Too many at this point?
No, they need to add like maybe six more titles. They need a six person tag for the women as well, and for the men, maybe an eight person tag. I don't know. We'll see where the day takes us. I agree with Doug. I actually like Doug's opinion on that too. I think that'd be an awesome idea to do a fatal four way and combine the titles. It'd be a really good way to do it. The only downside is with we have Fox and USA now. There's no more wild card rule. It is just only going to be SmackDown, only going to be Raw. So we are going to run into some issues there, unfortunately. But you know, with that said, it would be kind of nice if, you know, you had all the women on one show, because I mean, those four, they are your top tier. Those are your AS tier. You know, I mean, they are the best. And you know, the downside is then whatever feuds they move on to after this, it's just not going to be nearly as memorable.
So SmackDown is going to be on Fox, not FS1, not FS2, but Fox, which is a big deal on Friday nights. It starts on October 4th. And we already have the main event. called by none other than Mr. Aaron Hughes. So, Aaron, oh, you didn't call
it? I didn't call the main event.
I thought you called it.
No.
I was setting that up the entire time. Roger, did you call it?
Yeah.
Roger, I am so sorry.
From the moment that he won Money in the Bank, I said this is exactly where he was going to win the title.
Oh, my bad, man. All right. So, Roger, since you called it, not him, did you think that this is the right move, especially going to prime time on a major network, Fox?
I think that this was going to happen. I think they blew this. I think this should have been Brian, or ideally I would have done Roman Reigns versus Kofi Kingston as the announced main event. That is essentially your biggest star versus your champion. You basically have the New Day agree to not interfere. That way you have justification that they're just not going to be there. And then Brock Lesnar, who would still be holding the Money in the Bank briefcase as opposed to pointlessly cashing in at Stomping Grounds, would then show up on the first night of Fox on SmackDown and win the championship. That way you have a big moment. You have a cash in. People go crazy, yada, yada, yada. Having said that, look, Kofi has had a long run, longer than I think I expect him to have, but it's over. He is not beating Brock Lesnar. There are a handful of people who have ever beaten Brock Lesnar, I think, since he's come back. Triple H, John Cena, The Undertaker stole a win, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Goldberg. You're talking about all basic, guaranteed, surefire Hall of Famers. Kofi will be in the Hall of Fame, but he's not going to be main eventing his class. And I really, really have a hard time believing that Kofi Kingston will beat Brock Lesnar. Barring some sort of bizarre interference to set up another feud, Brock wins. Brock wins handily.
Well, could they actually do something where maybe Seth Rollins comes in or someone else who's beat Brock comes in and actually basically
makes... Wildcard rules over.
Which it is, but what if they show up?
What, Raw invade SmackDown?
Yeah, because remember, Survivor Series is, 6 weeks or 7 weeks right after that. Why not start it on Fox?
Because you're not allowed to talk about pay-per-views before the previous pay-per-view. We don't actually do intelligent things like talk about things down the road. It's all eyes on Hell in a Cell. And then once that happens, we magically remember that Survivor Series is a thing.
Okay.
Also, what was the point of the wild card rule when we abandon it going to the point in which the networks are actually separate? Because right now you did the wild card rule purely for USA. That was why did we do this? Who do we placate here? That is mind blowing that we literally will be getting rid of it the moment it actually would have made some sense. Hey, by the way,
no, I agree with everything. This is I'm not shocked by it. I think it's a smart move to have your biggest star on the biggest network that you're going to be showing on. I'd be interested to see how long Brock sticks around. Is he going to be showing up weekly, or is he just going to be showing up every other time, or what? But not very shocked, and let's see what they do.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's good booking, to have Brock there. You have a main event star, and you have him taking on Kofi, who, for all intents and purposes has been, I don't want to say like IC material, but has been kind of floating between IC and world, it feels like, with his title reign. And I agree with Roger. This lasted way longer than I expected. I expected like a 60, 90 day title reign. And it's been going for, I think, way longer. I think I might have even picked Orton to defeat him at the last pay-per-view, just thinking that maybe that's the route that they're going to go. But yeah, Brock, I don't see a chance here where Brock does not win.
It's a sad, sad day for WWE. We'll see where things take it, right? All right, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster? Or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click screw installs, or frees up and hands on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo. See how easy it is. And if you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out 686's Off the Mark page. Click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEshop.com. We got to talk about NXT. NXT just went live. And for the first few weeks, they are going to be 1 hour on USA. And the second hour will be on the network. All right, Aaron, what were your thoughts on NXT on USA?
So I was looking at it as somebody who maybe has never seen NXT before. You know, there's a lot of people out there that don't have the WWE network where, you know, they just don't see a need for it. They don't watch the pay-per-views, but maybe they watch Raw casually. And they hear that there's a new program called NXT. It's the Next Level Stars. And I was a little disappointed that they didn't come out kind of with their heavy hitters, you know, for the very first part of it. And I felt like it would have been a really good idea to have a Johnny Gargano come out there and, you know, do a promo, have Adam Cole come out immediately, you know, something, you know, to kind of excite the crowd and get them going. And it wasn't bad to have the, I think it was the four ways what started off for the number one contender for the women's title. I just thought that, you know, if I'm a brand new viewer and I'm watching this, I go, I don't know who any of these people are. Oh, they can wrestle. That's really cool. But, you know, what's the significance of this? What makes this important versus, you know, if you have, you know, a group come out, or even, you know, like Baszler with her cronies, if you have them kind of come out first and you hear the boos and you're like, oh, these people are really not well liked. You know, like, why is that? And then people are paying attention to that. I just felt like it kind of started off a little paltry, you know, like it could have been, they could have done a lot more, I felt, to start off. The ending for the first hour was amazing, but I felt like the beginning wasn't.
Do you think that maybe Baszler and her crony should have came out there as well to basically attack so there was no winner on that match, though? Do you think that would have helped?
I would have had her come out and have the crowd boo, and then have her just sit down and just like watch the match, essentially. And then maybe not get involved, but kind of like, you know, talk crap to people in the match and be like, oh, you're terrible, you're trash, you know, something like that during the match, just to, so that way she can get a little bit more heat. You know, maybe even have one of her cronies, you know, cause an issue where Candice LeRae gets the pinfall, but it's because somebody like tripped the other one, you know, that sort of thing. That might have been interesting to see.
I didn't get to watch it. I work second shift, so I didn't get to see what it is and what happened. So I'm not going to be the best answer on this one.
Did you get to watch the second hour on the network?
Not yet, because I love NXT. I absolutely do. But my favorite thing to do is always binge watch the episodes probably the day or two before an NXT event and finally catch up on everything.
All right.
Okay, can I ask a question? Who are these people who decided to sit down on a Wednesday night and watch a program they've never heard of before? Like, I just, what demographic of people goes, hey, I've apparently never watched wrestling before. I'm not familiar with the network. I've never watched any of the big four pay-per-views where some of these stars have been talked about. But there's this new show that I've never heard of, and I'm just going to watch it for 2 hours. Like, I don't think that demographic really exists. And if they do, I don't think you should cater to them because I don't care. And the bigger point is that, like, cool, I get not having the network. You probably have Hulu unless you live in 1999. Like, you probably have some method, or YouTube, or one of the other. Do you have the internet? Like, I'm sure you've heard of some of these people. I'm sure if you were watching USA Network at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night, you know the brand. They have been talked about for 4 to 5 years. I don't think you need to come out and pretend like this is the first night of Nitro and no one knows what this new wrestling product is. I think what they did was come out and show you exactly what NXT is about, which is good matches. They came out and showcased a women's division, their mid-card division. They didn't show their heavyweight division, which is fine because they can do that in the following week. And I really enjoyed the fact that the Fatal 4-Way was not interfered with. I think Shayna Baszler came out at the perfect time. I really think she established her character. She's a bully. That's exactly what she looked like. If you were watching this, you, wow. She just brought her cronies. She stood over Candice LeRae. She was intimidating. Fantastic character work. It was simple but effective. Sometimes WWE overdoes the interference. They overdo the, oh, let's wreck the whole match and have, you know, oh, we're not going to have a contender, which means it's going to be some stupid five-way match. It was simple and to the point. I liked Candice winning. I loved the Undisputed Era versus Velveteen. That's a good time to do interference. I don't care if you ruin a TV match. That's not a big deal because when they have their rematch in the pay-per-view, I know it's going to be, yep, Undisputed Era is banned from ringside. Fantastic. No problems with that. Really, my only beef, I just didn't care for that street fight. I have been waiting for them to really go at it, and I wanted them to kind of have a blow-off match. I wasn't that interested in that full brawl, with one exception. Seeing Matt Riddle brawl with Walter, oh, my God. Like, that just got my fandom juices going insane because those two would have such a fun match. you know, for those who don't watch NXT UK, man, Walter is something to behold. And his Imperium group, I really, and I don't know if this is what you were thinking, Andy, I think they're going to be involved in War Games and somehow. And this was the perfect way to show them as they don't care who. And honestly, I really, really hope it's War Games, Undisputed Era versus Imperium. I think that is a fantastic feud.
And I do agree with you. I think that's going to be part of it. But I think they're going to take four NXT guys and put it in there as well. So I think it would be 12 people that go in. But yeah, that's what my, I think their plan is. Because why else would you have NXT UK there? No one knows the product. You have NXT guys. But why bring NXT UK unless that's what they're going to do? But I don't know who they're going to put in. I believe they'll put the Street Profits and what's his name?
Pete Dunne.
Thank you. But I'm not sure who the other guy will be. I think you would have to have Gargano in there, though.
No, I don't think you do. I actually, the thing is that I think Gargano needs to move away from the Undisputed Era. He's been feuding with them literally since TakeOver New York. He needs to do something else. And if he needs to come back to the championship at some point down the road, that's fine. I don't want a fourth match with him in the Undisputed Era, essentially. Let him do his own thing. Let him go separate. That's why I really like the idea of basically, if you listen to what Walter said, he said, we're here to show respect to the ring, and anyone who disrespects the mat will pay. That is the definition of what the Undisputed Era do. When they interfere in matches, they ruin things. So you're talking about champion versus champion. You're talking about potential tag champions versus tag champions. That feud itself sells it, and then they can still have their own separate feuds on the shows. But if they were leading to a War Games match, you literally are debating on which one is the superior group. That is fine by me.
And I believe that's what the like we just said, I believe that's what's going to end up being at War Games, which is going to be great. I would like to see Walter go up to the top, then fly down or something. But yeah,
or
that'll could never not happen.
Commit murder.
hopefully the ring does not. You know what? They're probably going to have one of the rings collapse. Oh, no, don't do that. Oh, we can't do that. But yeah, I was really excited about NXT. I mean, Aaron, is there anything that else you think we should share about how NXT, you know, it's great, it's on USA, but is there anything that you like the production being pretty much what it is on the network?
One of the things I really like about it is that if this is something where, you know, if this is your first time watching it, or if this is something that, you know, you haven't seen very often, seeing the fans and the interaction that they have there, I think is really great, because the Full Sail crowd is a more hardcore crowd. It'd probably be similar to, I don't want to say ECW, but kind of like that love for it, you know, maybe like, you know, 80s NWA even, like where they really, really enjoy the work that's being done there. And that's I think that that brings a lot to the table then, because you have a very intimate, you know, it's only like what, 800 people, I think, are able to go to Full Sail. It's not a whole lot, you know, so you have a very, you know, it's a capacity crowd that is interested in the match, that are chanting, that are involved. And that says something versus like you see Raw and it's, you know, I mean, who knows what it'll be. There's go away heat, you know, sometimes there's, you see Baron Corbin and then people just, you know, crap all over him. Who knows, you know, for that. But yeah, as the production goes, I think it's great. The matches that they had, there were some really great matches, you know, as Roger had mentioned with Riddle, that was phenomenal. And then Roderick Strong, Velveteen Dream, that was really good too. So there were some really, you know, shining points there. And when they're going head to head, I hope that it brings out the best. I hope that this means that NXT is going to really build up some more stars, maybe have some main roster people go back. I think that'll be really good. And I hope it brings out the best in AEW too.
So Doug, do you think the Ascension's coming back to NXT?
No, they've already ascended.
Can we, I don't know. I have one more thing to say, and this kind of circles back to what we talked about in the beginning. We were talking about AEW, and I don't know if you guys watched early NXT, kind of around like WrestleMania 30. If you looked at the first TakeOver card, it was not the TakeOver that we've come to love now. It's not a blowaway show. It's not like, oh my God, these are the best of the best. I mean, if I'm correct, Bo Dallas was the champion.
Yep.
Bo Dallas is fine, but he is not some elite, you know, no one's ever going to say he's in the PWI top five. Like, he's okay. And...
Huh? Top 50?
On the main roster, maybe. Sure. I mean, I'm not even trying to just be mean, but like, you know, you look at that card. Let me tell you who is on it. Tyler Breeze and Xavier Woods. I like both those guys. It was 35 seconds. Paige versus Emma. Those are both fine, but neither one of them are the four horsewomen. The Ascension and Too Cool. Neither one of them, I would say, are the best tag teams on the planet. Mojo Rawley and CJ Parker, now known as Juice Robinson.
Was that the main event? Because that's a main event match.
Also, the one match that you would say is like a takeover was Cesaro versus Sami Zayn. Got 23 minutes. They tore it up. It was fantastic. Whole point that I'm making is that oftentimes we like to judge things based on what it is, as opposed to giving it time to grow and judging it what it could be. If you looked at this card, I would not say that that is going to be the hottest brand in sports entertainment. I would be like, eh, that's an okay brand with mediocre wrestlers. If you looked at AEW right now, I would say they're already ahead of where NXT Arrival is, and they still have plenty of room to grow. And if you look at the takeovers for the last 4 years, those have been consistently the better part of every single weekend. I can't tell you maybe the last time that the WWE main roster outshone takeover. I think AEW can very quickly do the same, where they are consistently putting up fantastic work. And if you're talking about Wednesday nights having both of those at the top of their game in 1 to 2 years, we could really get to a point where I don't care about Monday Night Wrestling. I don't care about Friday Night Wrestling. I care about Wednesday Night Wrestling, because the two best products are right there.
All right, Roger, I'm going to throw this out. Do you think there's a point when all the major networks, the four, of course, actually have wrestling on, we'll say, Tuesday nights?
Are you talking CBS?
Yeah, NBC, like CBS, NBC, like not Monday nights. We'll just say Wednesday night. Like every Wednesday night, you know, SmackDown's on, or we'll just say SmackDown's on, and then you have AEW, and then maybe like MLW isn't on another one, or maybe AEW goes to like NBC or ABC. Do you think there's going to be a time where we get to that point?
So I'll say this. Nobody besides WWE will be on the major networks. Like, I could see Raw moving to NBC, right? NBC and USA, if I'm correct, are tied at the hip. You're not going to get MLW. You're not going to get Impact. You're not going to get AEW. They're going to be on TNT and Turner and broadcast networks. I could see NBC deciding to go Monday nights. You know, maybe they get completely out of the football game. Then, you know what? Okay, we're going to try to compete with Monday Night Football, and we'll take Monday Night Raw. That's plausible. I still think that network television, I don't want to go too far into this discussion, but I don't think network TV is as big as it used to be, in the sense of, you know, there used to be destination television. And with the exception of Game of Thrones, I don't think there has been anything in the last 4 to 5 years that doesn't start with the initials NFL that is destination television. And really, I think more people watch it when they have a chance to watch it, whether it's the night, whether it's later when you get home. You know, Doug is going to watch NXT when he gets off of his shift. I watched NXT this morning. Some people watched it live. Some people are going to watch it tomorrow. I don't know. I mean, I know that the networks are legitimately dying for live programming, because there's only really sports, wrestling, and these stupid competition singing shows. But you're just, I don't see wrestling getting that hot. Maybe during the Attitude Era. Maybe that could have happened. Wrestling is not going to get there anymore. Like, we're not ever going to see Austin and Rock and all of that peak.
So what I'm hearing from Roger is that he is on the next season of Masked Singer. But to your point, Andy, I don't think that we are going to see it on all the major networks. CBS, that it doesn't cater to that audience. Roger, as he had mentioned, NBC, USA, that would make sense. ABC, you know, that's Disney. I don't see that. You know, Fox, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, they do that type of stuff. You know, they will take chances. And wrestling, I don't know how long the contract is. I'm assuming it's 3 to 5 years. It makes sense for them to, you know, kind of try it out and see what happens. And then if at the end they go, you know what, wasn't that good, so let's dump it and let's try something else.
All right. So that's all the time we have for this month's show. If you're into Twitter, you can follow the show at AltimoreK6. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and any of the podcasts. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Roger Cave, Doug Hunt, and Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.